Walking down the roads of strategic thinking for professional networking, business building, most of us would agree to name LinkedIn as a well-bit pathway to tread on. What's better than understanding the dynamics of LinkedIn as a professional networking platform from someone who trains consultants and is an expert regarding that platform? Daniel Alfen from Tel Aviv wrote the book entitled How to Build a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success. For most of us in the B2B marketing and consulting space, it's a great read on what LinkedIn has become and where it's going. I interviewed Daniel to find out about the future of LinkedIn and of business networking at large. Hello, you're listening to the Visionary Marketing Podcast. Today's topic is networking and growing your B2B business with LinkedIn with Daniel Alfen from Tel Aviv. Daniel is also the author of How to Build a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success, which is available on Amazon. Please note that due to some unforeseen technical glitches, this recording has suffered a little and we apologize for this. So I'm here with Daniel Alfen from Tel Aviv. Hi, Daniel. You wrote a book entitled How to Build a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success, which is available on Amazon. And we're going to talk precisely about that, about LinkedIn, what it has become, where it's going, if it's going anywhere, and what your advice to business people. I mean, I've been on LinkedIn for about 18 years. It used to be a platform aimed at networking and just that. And now, gradually, it became a platform for publishing content. It's also a platform for recruitment. It's a platform for salespeople. Sales Navigator is the product that Microsoft is selling or LinkedIn is selling through its platform. So what is it now? What is LinkedIn exactly? And what are your advice to business people around the world?
That's a great question. And the short or smart answer is LinkedIn is what you want it to be for your business.
Okay.
In other words, if you're in a hyper-growth company and all you're interested in is finding talent, then you should focus on sharing jobs, making sure your existing employees and staff are using their network in order to tap into LinkedIn candidates. And if hiring people is not what you're after, if your business is a content publisher, or if you're a solopreneur or a marketing person, then you could focus on the networking. The strength of LinkedIn could come, in my opinion, from just deciding what is it you'd like to leverage LinkedIn for. And this simple, straightforward question is a question many LinkedIn users do not ask themselves often or at all. It could be that Xu Yan at one point used it almost exclusively, say, for publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you could use it for networking. Just deciding where you'd like to take your LinkedIn in order to help your business is a question that every business user should ask. What is your top marketing priority? Is it recruiting? Is it publishing? Is it getting more views? Is it getting referrals? Is it getting something else? Let's imagine some of our listeners here, okay? People who listen to the podcast or visit Viz Marketing and info and are interested in the future of content and how B2B business can work.
Is it?
There could be a variety of uses and a variety of case studies.
Okay.
In one company where the marketing department is producing high quality content, then leveraging the LinkedIn platform in order to get more exposure and more eyes on that content is a great idea. It requires some coordination and it can't be top down. In other words, it's very tempting for the CMO or the CEO to tell everyone to share that piece of content or that salesy white paper, whatever it is. But since people are treating LinkedIn as something that belongs to them, you can't get it by force alone. You need to convince them.
Get this. This is pretty personal, and LinkedIn is made for persons rather than businesses. Actually, it's something that strikes me. A lot of businesses come to me and say, how can I use my business LinkedIn profile to publish content? And most of the time, it doesn't make sense because content is best published by people and not businesses. But let's get back to this. This title of this book of yours, Building a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success. So here we understand what you're saying about LinkedIn being everything to all people, but how do you establish business success? So I suppose if you mean business success, it means you want to sell more. I suppose that's what it means.
Yes, I agree. I think it's maybe one way to look at it is at the top of the funnel. Okay. LinkedIn, in other words, would not be the platform where the transaction would take place, but LinkedIn could be and can be the platform where more people are made aware of your solution. And then they need to attend a webinar, or they need to attend a demo, or then they may contact you. Something else will happen outside of LinkedIn, but you can definitely use LinkedIn to gain more exposure and let more people know of your specific solution. Think of it as a simple funnel. Okay, the sales funnel would be awareness, and then it would go all the way to a purchase order or business or revenues. And LinkedIn can reflect that. You want people to find about you or your solution.
Okay.
You want them within 2 seconds to understand that something is interesting for them.
Uh-huh.
And then there are all sorts of other aspects. Yeah. And when I look at your profile and I see that we have a number of mutual connections, then what I think about those people will affect and influence the way I think of you. Okay, if I think highly of them, even if I don't ask them about Jan at all, then some of the stardust would actually be above your head.
And something very important, what you say is you're saying to gain awareness, you have to be, publishing something which is going to be of interest to them and not to you. So, in fact, very often you have to refrain from publishing stuff on products and services and offers and whatnot. So it's very boring. Now, going back to, but having said that, this is not enough because now we're in 2021 and publishing and gaining awareness on LinkedIn in 2021, well, it's not a piece of cake. It used to be a piece of cake, but it's not. It's not anymore. It's an open ground battle. It's a where people are grappling for visibility, aren't they? So what is your advice to these people who want to gain awareness and they want to sort of raise their hand and say, hey, I'm here. It's not going to work.
I'm afraid it's not going to work. Let me maybe tell you a little story. About a couple of weeks ago, I ran a training, the first physical training I ran in a couple of months for KPMG. And one question I was asked at the end, the management wanted to encourage people to share their case studies and all sorts of things. So I highlighted three different aspects I think could be relevant. When an employee of your firm shares or likes or comments, there's three dimensions. One is about the way others perceive that action. Let's say that we two are connected and I see that you liked some content. That in many cases, liking is perceived to be that like the lowest trust characteristic of your engagement. It doesn't mean that you even read it. It could mean that you like the person who published that content. Sharing it, like resharing something, a page, the firm page or someone else has shared, is more valuable in the eyes of many people. But if an employee is doing this, then I would actually encourage them not just to share that, but to add something of their own. And by adding something of their own, it could be just a sentence. Okay, like maybe explain why you found it so compelling, what you found interesting in the article itself, or even say that you don't agree with a specific claim that the author is making. So if you decide to share someone else's content, then that means you read it, you think highly of it. It makes sense to add, to take a couple more seconds and add your own perspective to it so it's more genuine and more interesting for the reader.
Okay, and fair enough.
Third item is the algorithm. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, now we're talking the algorithm.
Since the algorithm is the, you know, the darkest secret that LinkedIn never actually... shares, then we are left with the other two elements. In other words, LinkedIn says some inside information, says that LinkedIn doesn't think highly of shares because it thinks of it as duplicating content. In other words, if Viz Marketing has published some content and an employee is resharing it, then LinkedIn will limit the additional views that the person could gain. Whereas if you only liked it or commented about it, then that would mean LinkedIn will show it to more people. But the important thing to remember is that if we have two employees and one of them is only happy resharing stuff, and he doesn't want to post anything, doesn't want to comment, he doesn't want to like, but he doesn't mind, or she doesn't mind sharing that content, then even if in the eyes of the algorithm, it's not worth showing to 500 extra people, then you'd better leverage the actions that the people are organically willing to do, rather than trying to gain the algorithm. Because the algorithm, Jan, as you know, will change. It will change in 2 weeks. It will change in 2 months. And if we're only chasing the algorithm, there's no end to it.
But that's the point, actually. Yeah, we're getting to the nitty-gritty of it. Maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago, maybe it was a little bit more, but that's right about it. Engagement on posts started plummeting. I mean, even people like David Hughes, who wrote Tech Pilot Sales, as you know, from Australia, posted something on LinkedIn about this, saying even David Hughes has got a huge following on LinkedIn, much bigger than mine. And he was posting something saying, oh, anytime I post something, with some research, and it should be interesting to people on LinkedIn, well, I get no likes, no views at all. But I have to go into what he calls pollution polls. Yeah. Well, that's so there's polls everywhere. And what is happening here? Do we have to, and I've tried to do this as well, because I was sort of intrigued. At first I thought, well, this is real pollution. And I posted a poll. Do you think that polls are going to kill LinkedIn? And some people really didn't like it. And they're like, I'm going to unfollow you and everything. And then I noticed that I was gaining a lot of engagement, for what it's worth. And then I tried another one. And then I gained something like 35,000 views and 1,000 votes or something like this. And then I tried another one. And it went up to 81,000 views and 1,000 votes. And I tried another one yesterday, and I got another 50,000 views. So does that mean that we're going to have to send polls all the time, or is it going to change again? And what's the meaning of all this?
That's a deep philosophical question. And if we go back to the pollution idea, it's so nicely introduced that at one point, people are going to be fed up with 99% of the poles. That point may have been reached. Okay, and let's go back to something you said earlier about being interesting for them, for the viewers, or for our audience, if you like. Before we pull the trigger of a poll, we should ask ourselves, why are we sharing this? Is this content, or is the question itself, so compelling that many of your connections will feel compelled to go and see the answer and vote? And I'm afraid most people and most content creators will not find it easy to produce such content on a daily, week, or even weekly basis. So maybe one really interesting poll a month or a quarter could give you more engagement than a weekly or a bi-weekly of five polls.
And but hold on a second.
Yeah.
With visionary marketing, we're also our own media. So we publish every day what we hope are interesting stories. Well, at least we're working on it. And this one would be turned into a story on visionary marketing. So well, you may like them or not, but a lot of people do. So fortunately. And we're putting a lot of effort in this. I mean, there's these kind of interviews that we're carrying out at the moment. Well, there's a lot of work on the transcription, on the analysis and the writing and everything. And then we're here and we have to post this thing. I mean, the one I did yesterday was about a white paper. It wasn't a poll. It was a white paper. I mean, it was a 70-page white paper. I mean, the huge, whacking, great thing, the thing that took us a few months to write and interview lots of people and get a lot of insights, a lot of research, because we hate above everything else is white, all white papers. So we tend to fill them with loads of information and data and everything, so that when once you've finished reading it, you got for your money's worth. But then, you know, it's a bit unfair because you're posting this on LinkedIn and you say, right, okay, I'm going to get, a certain number of views for my efforts. And then it's not going to work. So obviously you have to insert a stupid poll in there, which is nothing to do with it's stupid, isn't it? I mean, I shouldn't need to do that, but this is what you have to do, because if you don't do this, so I agree with you, you don't have to chase and try and circumvent the algorithm, because the algorithm anyway, nobody knows how it works. I'm not even sure LinkedIn does. Well, actually, I'm pretty sure they don't, because we've tried quite a few things and then it looks like it's a bit erratic anyway. But still, you may well say that you mustn't use or you mustn't care about algorithms, but if you don't, it's just not there. And now I'm putting myself in the shoes of not a median like us, but I'm putting in the shoes of, Joe Bloggs in the street, well, the average consultant who's probably not very well connected and is trying to get known and to be, well, is looking for business success, as you say in your book. And then you're caught with this algorithm nonsense and all. What are these guys going to do? I mean, I really feel for them, Because we are experts and we're striving. So what should they do? What is your $300 million advice to them?
Okay, let me try and give you a number of nuggets, and maybe all of it together will form the $1 million answer. One way would be to, even though you worked hard on the 70-page white paper that's substantial, then to serve it on LinkedIn could mean that you reverse engineering and you find a quote and you highlight an image and you do something that's more of a teaser because people are not necessarily going to consume the content as it is, the 70 pages. And in some cases, when you try it, you will see that finding, say, half a dozen interesting quotes or figures or the introduction or something else is going to be a lot more, is going to be a lot more responses and engagement than page 43 in the white paper.
That's okay. Okay. So, right, I understand. What you're saying is, well, we should go into snackable content.
That's one way to look at it.
But it doesn't work. But it doesn't work. Because I disagree with you. People do not consume snackable content. They're really sick of this. And anyway, it doesn't work on LinkedIn because we're going back to square zero. When you post something, even though it's interesting, actually, it doesn't really matter, be it interesting or not. It doesn't work. Because of this algorithm thingy.
You can, okay. When you share a snackable piece of content, the idea is not for people to consume it on LinkedIn, but the idea is for more people to discover the content itself. And let me suggest two other ways. The initial thought that all of us have is to go to LinkedIn's homepage and share that new piece of content, that fresh daily content or weekly content. But if you've worked so much and if you spent so much time creating that content, then there's another place for it. If it's evergreen content, then that content could be made part of your profile, the consultant's profile. And that means that everyone who would visit their profile or your profile would see that PDF or the cover of that PDF. That alone, in the long run, could gain more downloads or more views than trying to share it across the board, like you said.
Okay.
And lastly, if we don't want to rely on our connections only, then there's another feature LinkedIn tries accidentally to kill, and that's the LinkedIn groups.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, they pretty well managed to do that, actually.
Okay. So let's think about it this way. For every consultant you are connected with, or for every prospect that Visual Marketing is connected with, there could be dozens of interesting prospects you are not going to connect with who could consume that content thanks to groups. So instead of just seeing the sharing as the only way to do it and trying to game the system and gain 0.5 more views, we could have a more holistic way about it. One is to use our profile and our staff's profiles to highlight evergreen content, not next week's webinar, okay, but something that you've worked hard for, then that could be one way to gain a lot of exposure to it. The second idea would be to make sure that everyone on your team is actually sharing it and not just one person.
Yeah, sure.
And instead of everyone sharing it at 9 a.m. Paris time, then maybe you could try and actually you would share it at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And your colleague would share it around 1 p.m.
Sure.
Someone else would.
And this is how we circumvented the issue because we worked as a team. But then I'm going back to square zero, because the problem is not us, because we know how to circumvent the issue, because we worked as a team and we asked each contributor to the white paper to comment on the post, and this is how we ended up having 50 plus thousand views and more than 400 downloads without paying anything, so which is not too bad in just one day. But okay, so the issue is not us. I'm trying to think about Joe Bloggs, who's trying to get to be known on LinkedIn. We're influencers, so it's rather easy for us. But I'm trying to, you know, step in the shoes of the average salesman or the average consultant for that matter. And how can they do? How can they circumvent this issue? How can they do something about it? Should they go back to networking and then go back to square zero and then start building a network and building a community? Well, at least facilitating a community? Isn't that a good idea?
Yes, it definitely is. And you could at one point mix them by either adopting LinkedIn's creator mode, even though that has some problems, or have a connection strategy. As you know, many people don't have a connection strategy. They just react. So when you send them an invitation, they may accept it or not, but they think about it in the short term, because now I'm into this, then I would accept your invitation. But if 6 months ago I was into something else, I wouldn't do it. So maybe it's important to get back to the networking aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Networking is far more important than LinkedIn, in my eyes.
Sure.
LinkedIn is the tool. Now, it's a formidable tool. It's very powerful. It's not very user-friendly, but it's just a tool. And there is no silver bullet, and there is no shortcut to run your networking. There's no way anyone has found on LinkedIn or outside of LinkedIn to make it automated and easy and free and successful. And the question you raised about how Joe's blog can differentiate itself from 10 or 1,000 other blogs was there before LinkedIn. Okay, so what makes their blog special in the first place? I think that in many cases, finding that special niche would mean that Joe could only focus on maybe 1.3% of your audience, and they would still be able to make a living. You don't have to be, you flattered me by saying I'm an influencer. I'm not sure I am. But everyone should think of themselves as at least a mini influencer in their specific niche. And their specific niche could be that geolocation and these sort of managers in that industry. Maybe you can cram everyone into Bercy and that's all.
I think you've put your finger on it. The real thing that is going to spur business success is not really LinkedIn per se or Twitter or anything else. It's nothing to do with social media. It's something to do with networking, which can, at least before COVID-19, could happen in the real world. Now it's a bit more difficult. So networking is the real issue. And I think this is where Joe Blogs really has a problem, because their issue is not that they can't use LinkedIn. Their issue is that they can't work with people.
That's a harsh statement.
Well, I mean it's harsh, but it's something that I've come across very often. It's very, very hard, mostly for salespeople, to understand that they have to grow community before they start selling their stuff. You see them on LinkedIn trying to invite you and then trying to sell stuff immediately afterwards, because they haven't understood that.
The consultants that are able to help their audience or to educate their audience are better equipped and better placed or better positioned, in my opinion, than LinkedIn could be a great equalizer, in the sense that, say, both of us started or set up a LinkedIn account on the same day or some future social media, it doesn't matter, then just deciding what to do with it is something that many people don't actually do. And I don't think you should have a LinkedIn personality. Jan's personality in real life exists. And LinkedIn could reflect it, the better aspects of it, the more professional, okay, probably not something you would do on your spare time if it's not related to business. But you cannot fool everyone all the time. I think I'm not sure if it's Lincoln or Jefferson, but you can't fool everyone all the time. In other words, if your LinkedIn personality is all shiny and bright and people who meet you in a Zoom event or in real life think you're a jerk, then what wins is real life, because they will tell everyone about it. And when I see that you and I may share a mutual connection, say André Dan is one of our mutual connection.
Sure.
Then both of us can actually reach out to him and ask him how it's been, and ask pertinent questions about the other person. And if I trust Andre and he says, yes, you should definitely speak to Jan, then you know what? Even if your LinkedIn presence sucked, I would do it. And your LinkedIn presence is great. But I'm not interested in your LinkedIn presence. I'm interested in you or your business. And that information can influence the way people think about you and eventually the way people will do business or will not do business with your company.
So if I want to wrap this up in a few words, at the end of the day, what matters is not how you master LinkedIn. What matters is how good a human person you are.
I think that's even better than what I would have thought. And thank you very much. Yes, it's an excellent way to think about it.
Thank you, Dan.
You've been listening to the Visionary Marketing Podcast. We hope this piece has been useful to you, and feel free to give us a good ranking on iTunes, Android, or any other platform that you're using. See you soon on the Visionary Marketing Podcast channel.